Well, brethren, our next speaker is Brother Todd Alexander from Columbus, Ohio, and this is, I think, his first time speaking at our convention here. Is it your first?
I think so.
And this is actually his second service of the day. We got Todd out of bed before 4 o'clock this morning and drove him out to the radio station, and we did a two-hour broadcast on Christian Questions on the Great Pyramid, God's Message Board. Had a wonderful experience with that. So this is Brother Todd's second service. And the title of his comments for today will be Your Pure Mind. Fellow soldier in Christ, Brother Todd Alexander.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, Brother Rick. And this morning, Brother Rick and I had the pleasure of doing the Christian Questions on the Great Pyramid. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the Lord for bringing August Tornquist into my life, the integrity that the man lived with, the power that he lived with, and the power of God's truths, the way he walked, what he said, what he did, and how he lived his life. It was a great support for me in my early Christian experience, as well as for the brethren that are here today. I think back to the Strickland Farm way back in those hot dog days of summer when we used to sing those hymns and my pants would stick to my legs. But the sacrifices of the brethren, and now the Simonises with the Young People Seminar, Brother Art and Sister Gloria Luce in the opening up their home to us, Brother Paul and Sister Marilyn and the coming into my life and Sister Marilyn's life in the last few years. Brethren, I stand here on the shoulders of these strong brethren of God. And I come to you to speak from the Word of God. I bring the love of the Columbus, Ohio Ecclesia. They voted to send their love specifically to you, brethren. And Sister Marilyn and I are very happy to be with you today. I'd like to especially thank Brother Rick and Sister Tricia Sarasi for their sacrificing hospitality. We had some very, very sweet fellowship last night, and we really appreciate that. Well, brethren, in my Christian walk, I love to look at the Scriptures and bring out practical experiences that the apostles had in their day that could be relevant to our day and try to bring these concepts into my life and order them. We appreciate the harvest message, the powerful doctrines, powerful prophetic fulfillments that we see before our minds today that give us the strength, and we understand that God is in charge, that this permission of evil is just a temporary whisper. It's just a temporary moment in human history. And then we have the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I also like to look at the Scriptures and pull out these beautiful concepts, these warm facets to help me live a life that's more appropriate, to help me live a life that's more godlike, closer in the footsteps of Jesus. And I'd like to talk to you about that today. My daughter Ellen, she's 20 years old, and she's in her second year of college. And I gave her a piece of advice before she went to college. And that piece of advice was this: become what you are meant to become. Become what you are meant to become. To prepare her mind for her purpose. I told her, prepare your mind for the purpose that you will have as an adult. And I told her I wanted her to feel the power of living an enriched life without regrets. I was encouraging her not to be careless when she went to college, recognizing that she is in a big transition in her life. My job as a father was to help her prepare for that transition. Now, what is her mission? Her mission is to synthesize everything that she learned so far in her life and embark on her search for significance and meaning. And brethren, in many ways, we are at that same point, no matter what age we are at, whether we are at 90 years old or whether we are at 50 years old or whether we're at 34 years old or whether at 24 years old. We are at that same point. This is our mission too. And I believe that this is what the Apostle Peter meant in his admonition. He gave an admonition to the churches that were scattered throughout Galatia and Asia. And let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And I find Peter as being a wonderful, a rich source of information. And I look at his character, the way it was developed over the years, and the profound regrets that he had in his life during the ministry of Jesus. And his insights I like to pay attention to very closely, because I think he speaks out of experience. He speaks out of profound wisdom. And he's writing to these brethren in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. He's saying, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Brethren, Peter's not only talking to the brethren scattered across Galatia and Asia, he's talking to you and me. This is a message to Todd Alexander. This is a message to Brother Bob Gorecki. And this is a message to Brother Richard Sarasi. He's saying, stir up your pure mind. That word stir up, it's a metaphor. What do you think of when you think of stirring up? Well, I think of stirring up apple cider and getting all that stuff out of the bottom so it goes in the whole apple cider, and that real rich compote in the bottom of that apple cider barrel is effective through the whole glass when we take a cup of apple cider. Brethren, this stirring up, it's a metaphor, and it has the meaning to arouse the mind, to stir it up and to render it active. This is what the Apostle Peter is telling Sister Sandy Katerba. This is what the Apostle Peter is telling Brother Jerry Manette. Stir up your pure mind, Brother Jerry, Peter says. Now, brethren, due to the weaknesses of our flesh, the knowledge that we have in our mind does not always motivate. The Apostle Peter knew that. He knew that because of his great failure in front of Jesus when he denied the Lord. Knowledge by itself does not always motivate. And that's why Peter was saying, stir up your pure mind. Peter, the Apostle Peter, was reminding the brethren of the love that burned in their hearts. He remembered the love for Jesus that burned in his heart. He remembered the love for Jesus that burned in his heart when Jesus confronted him as a stranger on the seashore. And finally he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And now he's telling you and I not to let that knowledge just rot at the bottom of our barrel. He's saying, stir it up. Brethren, we need to feed ourselves with more than knowledge. I believe this stirring up includes an element of inspiration. And one of my favorite things in life is to take elements out of the scriptures and apply them in my life. But I find that hard sometimes because it's hard for me to be objective. I think of myself as a big bottle of juice that you might buy in the grocery store. And as I pick it off the shelf, I can read the label and I can see it has this much part pulp, this much part water. But if I'm inside that bottle, I can't read my own label. So it's hard for me to be objective. It's hard for me to look at my Christian life with objectivity. So I'd like each of you to tell me how I could be better. And as a parent, this is my job with my daughter. I should not leave her development up to chance. I need to do the same thing for my daughter that the Apostle Peter was doing for me. Stirring up her pure mind, reminding her of the scriptures that we taught her growing up, reminding her of the stories of the women of faith in the Bible. It's funny, by the way, she's taking a course in college for women of the Bible, and she's asking me all kinds of questions on email. It's just a rich experience for a father to see that. But brethren, when we feed our children with this knowledge growing up, and then we look for ways to drop little hints of inspiration, what we're doing is we're inspiring them to live their best lives. And this is what Peter is doing to us. He's saying, stir up your pure minds. By what? By way of remembrance. By way of remembering what? That he says, by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. This word pure, our pure minds. He's paying us a compliment. The Apostle Peter is paying us a compliment because this word pure has the idea of being judged by sunlight and tested as genuine. Have you ever thought of your mind as being judged by sunlight and tested as genuine? What I really like is the idea that the sunshine that shines in us comes after us letting the sunshine shine on us. The sunshine of the message of the Lord comes out of us in opportunities to inspire our young people, to inspire our children, to inspire our brethren, but only after it is tested as genuine. When the Apostle Peter says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, what is a mind? What is he talking about? Is he talking about the brain inside your skull? The Greek word is dianoia, and it has to do with the idea of being deep thought. It's in its proper exercise, the proper exercise of the mind. It's the mind as the faculty of understanding, feeling, and desiring. Do we think of our brain as that, of all those three things? Understanding, knowledge, feeling, emotion, and desiring action. I love that. Because our mind is not just knowledge. It's not just, our consecration is not just a body of knowledge that we have on our bookshelf and we say, yeah, that's my consecration over there. I've established these principles and I live those principles and what I believe is over there. No, we bring these principles out of that two-dimensional page and into our life. And we let these things play and dance, and we let the Lord have his way with us. We let the Holy Spirit work in our bodies. And we allow the Holy Spirit to tug us and tell us that we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to stir up our pure minds. By how? By way of remembrance of the knowledge that we learned. We believe that this feeling, that this desiring, these come from the wellspring of our inspiration. These come from the motivations that we have. And as a parent, I like to think of myself as a mad scientist in a lab. I don't know exactly what the chemicals are going to do. But I'm always testing and I'm always playing with these chemicals and try to refine what I'm doing. And when I can teach a young person more about themselves, when I can help a young person look into themselves and find what motivates them, maybe find out what their passion is, if I can help a young person to see the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of living an enriched life in the truth and in the scriptures, if I can bring them to that point of realization that God has a plan and they are in it, then I can see myself in that same experience. I have a template now. Because I've done it with somebody else, now I can do it with myself. And that objectivity becomes more powerful as I can look at myself and see opportunities to develop, to be renewed. Another idea that the Vines has on this word mind is the faculty that's renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's our mind. The faculty that is renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. Our understanding, our feeling, our desiring. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Brethren, we have such a powerful and wonderful gift in the Holy Spirit. Let's not take it for granted. Brother Rick and I were talking this morning on the way down how familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. We shouldn't be so familiar with the Holy Spirit that it's a common thing. But I'm guilty of that. I know that. I'm guilty of that. Consecration includes a lot more than our mind, though. It includes our body. As in Romans 12:1, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. It includes our mind, it includes our influence, it includes our reputation, it includes our time, it includes our talents, and it includes our substance. And amidst all those positive, beautiful opportunities to live our life in a consecrated life, we have the deceptions of the adversary. Because all of those areas are places where the adversary chases us. He chases me. And he tries to set up confrontations between my flesh and the Holy Spirit. And he tries to allow the flesh to take precedence over the Holy Spirit. I really appreciated Brother Mark's talk about the challenge number one, about the media fast. 10 days of a media fast. And brethren, you know, if we feel ourselves being continually succumbing to these challenges that Satan brings into our life, maybe we should bring in that the routine of not watching media, not being involved with television for at least 10 days, and see what that does to us. So I really appreciate Brother Mark's thought on that. Let's revisit 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's read verses 3 through 5. Well, we'll read the whole thing, verses 1 through 5. This is from the RVIC, Revised Version Improved and Corrected. This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you. And in both of them, in both of my epistles to you, I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Brethren, what a fabulous opportunity. I see castles in the sky. I see visions of beautiful palaces of gold and silver and precious stones in the scriptures, in the way that the apostles spoke to us, in the way that our Lord spoke to us in such powerful metaphoric language that makes our heart sing and dance. That's the good news. The danger is in the next verse. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts. That's the danger. That's the pain. That's what Brother Mark Grillo was talking about when he talked about the media, and 89% of the relationships portrayed on the television are between unmarried people. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his presence? Brethren, we have these people in the world today, in the world and also in the nominal Christendom. They don't believe in the second presence, even if they believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the second coming because they don't see Jesus or God as interested in man's affairs. And if this lack of faith is in the church, how bad is it in the world? That's the challenge of where we're living today. We're living in a world where people are walking after their own lusts. For from the day of that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning to creation. That's what they're saying. That's what these arguments are. But the Apostle Peter is telling us that he's stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. We don't have to depend on the world to define reality. We get to depend on the prophets and the apostles and the powerful prophecies that are in the scriptures, the transcendent words of Jesus to run our life, and the experiences of Peter and Paul and all the other apostles. This is what's stirring up our pure minds. And it's remembering all those things. Remembering, Peter says, that if God can work in my life, he can work in your mind, in your life. Brethren, we should remember the truth that we learned that inspired us in the beginning of our spiritual life. That's what Peter's telling O.B. Elbert. That's what Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter, is telling Brother Fernetz. And let that be an inspiration to you. Bring that apple compote up from the bottom of that barrel and let's get it going. My mom did this to me in a very interesting way. She took us over to Europe. My wife and me and my two children, and she took us back to the place in southern Poland where my family came from, Grywalt, Poland. And we got to meet her first cousin and his children and his grandchildren. And what was she doing? Well, she was reminding me where I came from. Isn't that what Peter's doing with us? He's reminding us where we came from. He's saying, you're going to be in a world full of mockers and mockery and people saying, where is the second presence? But he's saying, don't forget where you came from. The apostles, the words of the prophets. You are inspired by the words of the prophets and the apostles. And this is what my mother did to me. She reminded me that I came from the foothills of southern Poland. And my grandfather raised her in the lower level of an apartment complex in Hawthorne, New Jersey. And he made lots of sacrifices so that she could have a life. He converted from Catholicism to the truth, and he inspired her to live her best life, and she was doing the same thing with me. And I'm telling you, when we were there in southern Poland and we saw the family shoveling hay in the barn and harvesting hay by hand with the three cows that they used for milk, it made an indelible impression on my children. They will never forget that they came from southern Poland. Brethren, this is a a physical experience where that has a relationship to what Peter is doing right now. He's saying wherever you find yourself, whether you find yourself in the end times, whether you find yourself in the time of trouble, whether you find yourself in a frenetic-paced environment where you have to work like a dog 80 hours a week, maybe it's driving a truck, maybe it's being a janitor, maybe it's being a salesperson, maybe it's being whatever, that never forget where you came from and never forget that truth that inspired you in the beginning of your life. Now, Brother Mark talked about a very interesting concept that I'd like to talk about now. He talked about exercise versus play, and he read out of the sixth volume in page 540. And the pastor gave some very pointed advice that I hadn't remembered, so thank you, Brother Mark. But he talked about exercise versus play and how things are a waste of time. I think that this is one of the biggest temptations for us in the age. Are we going to develop our spiritual mind? Are we going to allow the Apostle Peter to stir up our spiritual mind and remind us of our roots and then develop this gift that God gave us into all that we could be? Are we going to become what we were meant to become when God called us and gave us the earnest of our inheritance? Or are we going to use all of this for our own pleasure? Are we going to use this tremendous rest that we have in the understanding of the permission of evil? And are we going to use that as a formidable platform for earthly success? I think that's the spirit of what was behind the pastor's words. And the contrast that I'd like to make is that sometimes when we do the Lord's will and we develop this Holy Spirit within us and we develop this new mind by putting away the lusts of the flesh, by putting away these activities that are not sanctifying, we can have a tremendous amount of enjoyment in that. We can be joyful. And we can enjoy the development. We can enjoy watching the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we submit to the Holy Spirit's influence. And this becomes enjoyment. No, it's not pleasure like the lusts of the flesh are pleasurable. But it's a new enjoyment in our life. And it transforms us. It transforms our desires. It transforms our mind, that faculty of feeling, of desiring, of understanding. And it transforms the power that the Lord is working in us. And it helps us to enjoy life. It helps us to build assets. It helps us to build strength of character instead of depleting assets and depleting our character by just doing things that might be pleasurable. I love to watch football. On the airplane, I was watching the Michigan game yesterday in the restaurant in between flights. Boy, that was a crazy game. 67-65 in a football score. That's nuts. That went to triple overtime. But Maryland makes it so I don't waste too much time doing it. But that's just a pleasure, brethren. And football is a pleasure, right? Watching football, watching the Yankees play baseball, watching the Mets, watching the... I like the Red Sox, by the way, and Curt Schilling. But that's a waste of time in many respects, and we have to put a guard on that. We can't get carried away with that because those are just pleasurable things. That's just taking time away from our life that we could be using to build up our brethren in need. Let's make sure that we put in play the principles that the pastor talked about and that we put away those lusts of the flesh. We can still have enjoyment, but we have enjoyment in building up the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we might have to bring rituals into our life, like Brother Mark suggested. Turn off your TV. 10 days. Done. My brother Tim and I, every Friday night, we do a 90-minute Bible study with the Japanese brethren over in Japan. And I got to tell you, for the last 8 years, it was a real chore when it started. Man, I didn't look forward to it, but you know what? We've got through the first volume, the second volume, the third volume. Now we're in the fourth volume, and before that we did Matthew and the book of Matthew and book of Mark. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to these times. And I was disappointed when I had to cancel the Japanese meeting this past Friday night. Now, why do I say that? Well, because this was a ritual that I put into my life. I had to do it Friday night. These brethren in Japan, there's four consecrated brethren that were depending upon either me or Tim to do this, but Japanese Bible study. And at first it was a chore. But afterward it started really being something that I really wanted to do. It took probably 3 or 4 years. I wanted to go to my son's football games Friday night. And I went for the first half hour. He didn't play football, but the high school that he went at. And before I had to go home to do that Friday night meeting. But now it's a pleasure. And we find that this is part of finding enjoyment in our spiritual life. It's stirring up our spiritual minds. It's changing the things that we feel for. It's changing the things that we desire for. Why? Because the Apostle Peter tells us to. Why? Because that little gentle tug of the Holy Spirit in our heart is pointing us in that direction. And how do we do it? We do it by recalling the words of the apostles, the prophets, looking at the example of Peter, looking at the example of Paul. Paul is a very rich inspiration. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful, rich inspiration to me. Why? Because he admitted that he was wrong. And he didn't have a problem just starting over. And neither should we. We should not have a problem starting over. So, brethren, set yourself up with opportunities. If they have to be rituals, let's do it, where the Lord can bless us. I love this. The class that I'm involved in is doing something called Bible Study College Connection. And Brother Chris and Brother Jason, Brother Chris Morton and Jason Rodriguez are probably the ones that are on it most of the time. And it's a rich blessing. The work that some of you brethren are doing up here with Christian Questions, it's a rich blessing. Don't be weary in it. Another scripture that Peter gives us is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Brethren, Peter's admonition is to strengthen the foundations of your mind. He uses this metaphor, and he says, gird up the loins of your mind and get it ready for heavy lifting. Well, that girdle, the priests used to wear girdles around their belly to gird themselves for the work. And that's what we're doing. We're girding ourselves for the work. We're girding our spiritual mind and getting it ready to do the heavy lifting. Love is that girdle. Love for the brethren and love for the Lord is that girdle that wraps around ourselves and gives us the strength to do the right thing in the face of danger. It gives us that moral courage to do the right thing in the face of the enemy. Now, how do we bring this inspiration into our life? How do we bring the inspiration into the lives of our young people? We have lots of young people here. Not as many as I'd like to see, but we have some. And I can tell you they're good. They're good people. I know some of them. What does Todd Alexander tell the young people to do if they want to be inspired by the message? How do they do it? Well, I think we point them to Revelation chapter 3. And it's the message to the Laodicean church. It's interesting how my discourse and Brother Mark's discourse is the same. I'm going to read two verses out of Revelation chapter 3. And this is the message from the Lord Jesus, and he's talking about us. He's talking about us. He's saying, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot." And then he says, I would that thou wert cold or hot." He's telling us to either be cold or hot. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Now, brethren, I think there's a personal application here that we can take a look at and learn some very fabulous insights. This message obviously talks about the fervency of the truth as a corporate body on the church as a whole. But as far as us as individuals, as far as Todd Alexander, I need to realize that Jesus is speaking to me personally. And he's saying, "Todd, there's a personal application here." He's saying, "You're not cold or you're hot, not hot, Todd. And I want you to be both cold and hot. That's what the scripture says. Both cold and hot are good. And there's a personal application here that I learned from learning a little bit about the topography. You know, Laodicea is on the south bank of a river about 100 feet above the floor of the valley on a flat plateau. And it's right between two mountains. On one side is the mountains of Colossae that are about 10 miles from Laodicea. So Jesus, in the book of Revelation, talks about the seventh stage of the church and uses this picture of Laodicea. So it would behoove us to learn a little bit about that town back then so that we could learn what Jesus is telling Todd Alexander. And in the mountains of Colossae, there were some beautiful, fresh, sweet water springs. And they were widely known. These springs were widely known for their refreshing drinking water. People would come from miles away just to go to the mountains of Colossae and get sweet, refreshing water from these springs. About 5 miles in the other, or actually about 10 miles in the other direction from Laodicea, opposite from Colossae, there was a town called Hierapolis. And guess what was in Hierapolis? Hot water springs. There were some hot water mineral springs, and these springs were about 200 feet above Laodicea, very accessible by foot. And this water is still famous today. There's a resort there, and people go there to be cured of their diseases. And so they go there to get bathed, to allow this hot water to bathe them, and to allow the minerals to permeate their skin and to bring the health to their bodies. And sometimes they even take a little bit of the water in their mouth for health reasons. It's still famous today. Did Laodicea get their water from Colossae? Did they bathe in the baths of the hot mineral springs of Hierapolis? Guess where they got their drinking water? They got their drinking water from a little town called Denizli, 5 miles away. And guess what? They even built a 5-inch aqueduct to get this water from Denizli. In this 5-mile aqueduct, the journey on that 5 miles left the water lukewarm, and it was calcium rich by the time it reached Laodicea. Brethren, where do you get your water from? Where do you get your truth from? Do you get it from the mountains of Colossae, those sweet water springs that the Lord provided for you? Or do you go somewhere else? Do you go to Denizli? By the way, the symbol for the town of Denizli is a rooster. And I don't want to be a rooster. But the town of Laodicea piped their water in. They used their own technology, and they piped it in, and it was calcium rich. Well, how do we know that? Well, because the pipes are full of calcium today. Brethren, how do we encourage our young people to prepare their minds for action? How do we prepare the young people to stir up their pure minds? We do it by encouraging them to be refreshed and cleansed by the gospel. You cannot have one without the other. When you sit down to dinner, you don't eat the dessert first. In life, we need to be cleansed by the truth. We need to let it take away the filthiness of the flesh. We need to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit as it tells us how to do that. Peter did. The Apostle Paul did. Were they cleansed by the washing of the water by the word? Absolutely. And so much so that Timothy gave that express advice to Peter or to Titus. He says, Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, nothing invigorates us more than cold and hot water. Let's make sure that we drink the sweet water of Colossae up on the mountain so that when we have to go to the valleys, we're refreshed enough to endure those valley experiences. Revelation 3:17, it continues. The Lord pronounces his judgment on the gospel-age church at the end of the age. And he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Brethren, we live in this environment. We live in this environment. We can have anything we want as long as we pay for it. And We are rich, and we're increased with goods. And this is a sickness that penetrates all aspects of our life. But the Apostle Peter is reminding us to go back and revisit the truths that initially inspired us, to revisit the truths that took us out of this world of selfishness, of wickedness, of passions beyond belief, and put us on the straight and the narrow way that we talked about on the Christian questions, the narrow way that leads to life. Because we don't walk that broad road that leads to destruction. The Apostle Paul talks about this with Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says the same thing that Peter said. He said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is by the putting on of my hands." So here the Apostle Paul gives us another dimension of our faith. He says, not only do you have this mind, not only do you have this mind that Peter is telling you to stir up, but now the Apostle Paul is saying, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. What was that gift of God that Timothy had? And who gave it to him? Well, it was a gift of prophecy. And he got it by the laying on of hands of the Apostle Paul. Brethren, what is your gift? The miraculous gifts are not in play these days, but the pastor talks about these gifts. And these gifts were given to us when we were born by the intelligence that we are given, plus the education that we're given, and those two together total our gift. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us to stir up that gift. He's telling this to Timothy. And he's reminding Timothy that he walks differently since he was given the gift of prophecy. Brethren, we walk differently since we gave our life to the Lord. We walk differently than the mockers that are all around us telling us that where is the promise of the presence. Let's remember that intelligence is given, but a mind is made. Intelligence is given, but a mind is made. Let's make sure that we follow the advice of Peter and the Apostle Paul. And it's our job to develop our conscience in righteousness. It's not easy. We need to make our mind pure with conscious efforts, stirring up our pure mind by reading the scriptures, by reflecting on the experience of the apostles and the prophets, by bringing those two-dimensional concepts out of the scriptures and putting them in our lives. And if we're ever at a loss to do it with ourselves, let's try to do it with somebody else. And then as mad scientists, take what works and apply it in our own lives. Let's become what we were meant to become. The Apostle Peter reminded Timothy of his heritage. He reminded him of his grandmother Lois and his mother, or his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois. He reminded him of his heritage, and he reminded him of his spiritual gift. That's what my mom did to me. And she helped me find that spark. We appreciate the living testimony of Sister Gloria and Brother Art Luce. When we went to their home in Austerlitz and we sat at the feet of the brethren that served, and we appreciated the gift that Sister Gloria gave us, opening her beautiful home in Austerlitz. We watched Brother Rick Sarasi organize his jogging team in the mornings. We enjoyed going to the Spencertown to pick apples. All of these memories I have from the Luce's home is full of smells and full of the sweet smell of fall, the leaves, the baseball games. I remember I caught a big, long hit that Brother Butch Eckholt hit way out in the outfield. Brethren, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for helping the young people in their struggles. Thank you for being people of integrity. Because when you're doing that, you're following in the same paths of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. Thank you for stirring up our pure minds, reminding us of what the Scriptures say, reminding us of the responsibilities that we have. And keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. keep on doing it. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you, Brother Todd. And if you were to put these two discourses together, and they've actually been put together for us, I think it would read something like, "Change me by stirring up my pure mind." I think that's really what the message for this morning was. So we thank Brother Mark Grillo and Brother Todd Alexander for the lessons. We're going to close with hymn number 121. 121. We'll sing the first and last verses of hymn number 121. We will rise on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Todd to dismiss us with prayer. And afterwards, if you can just be seated again just for one quick minute, okay? I don't want to do the announcements before the prayer. 121, first and last verse, we'll rise on the last verse. Brother Todd will close, and then we have a few quick announcements.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these saints that are gathered here together to learn your word. We thank you for the fellowship that we are about to enjoy. We thank you for the opportunity to look into the scriptures, to allow the Holy Spirit to stir up our pure minds. Thank you for considering us that way. We ask for your blessing upon the words that were said, that all might be said unto your honor and glory. We ask for your blessing upon the meal that we are about to share, that it might strengthen our bodies, that we might more aptly serve you. Please bless the fellowship time, that we might speak words that are appropriate to our brethren in their time of need. Help us to submit to that power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We ask for strength and guidance and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, brethren, just...